What is going on, y'all? And thank you again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, in front of the computer, pounding away on the keyboard and watching hockey's Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios. I just got done pruning some tomato plants and shooting my bow in the backyard when you called me. Said, man, I'm home from this graduation party. Do you want to come over and rock?
Let's do this. Yeah. Yes,
I will meet you at Skeleton Studios.
Yep, good friend of ours, their youngest, just graduated high school. She's getting ready to head off to college to play soccer. She got a soccer scholarship.
She's been playing that her whole life.
Her whole life. Like, that's all. I don't remember her playing. I think she played a little volleyball for a little bit, but she's, I remember her from when she was three until this very moment. She'll be 18. Oof. I think in August she turns 18.
And everybody's getting geared up for the World Cup.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It's going to be over there in the Metroplex. It'll be packed over there before long.
I couldn't care less.
I just can't. I just can't.
It's just too, look, soccer's a beautiful game, but it's just so long.
You played a lot of it.
Well, when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No running now.
No.
I'm out on the running.
Yeah.
No. She showed me her paperwork of like the workout that she has to do per all the stuff over the summer before they even come in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get there, they get tested on their physical fitness. But it's not like I need you to run and do this. They put heart monitors, O2 monitors. They do everything on them. Like you're testing like racehorses. So there's no lying if you did it.
Oh, yeah, they do that in the NHL, too. Yeah. Their jerseys have things sewn into them, and they know your heart rate. They know everything. So if you're slacking off in practice, they know it.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we watched your heart rate. You're slacking off.
Yeah, dude, she was still. I'm like, this is crazy.
The Stanley Cup playoffs have been crazy.
You've been loving it, haven't you?
I have been loving it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, except for Dallas, but that's okay.
That's okay. No, I'm still a fan of
So who are you going for now?
Who do I think's going to win, or who do I want to win?
who do you want to win?
If I had to choose, I would say Buffalo.
That's what I thought. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anybody has a chance against Colorado, though.
They look good,
man. They are a wagon. It's going to be tough. But I will say what I think the final will be is Colorado versus Carolina. That's going to be must watch good TV. Oh yeah,
good game.
Very good. And then outside of graduation, I got lots of birthdays coming up. My mother-in-law just had a birthday, and we were at some moonshine distillery.
You were telling me about this.
Pretty wild.
I didn't even know it was there.
I didn't. Well, I'm never really out towards that way.
Yeah.
It's about an hour from here. And
it's not like we're moonshine connoisseurs.
No, I can't drink
hard
liquor.
How long had it been since you had had hard liquor when you tasted that?
Probably 5 years.
Exactly.
And when I last had it, I think I had like a crown and seven at dinner.
Yeah, right.
We were at like a steakhouse.
Doesn't even count.
Like I don't have any like in my house.
No, I do. I have a bottle of Crown Royal that was given to me when I worked for Christmas by one of the guys that I worked in the crew room with when I was here at the city. And he gave it to all of us. He brought us all bottles of Crown Royal. And he gave it to me in 2007. And it is unopened, and it is still here at my house.
Crown Royal in Texas is a crazy thing. So I met a distributor when I was working at that liquor store years ago. And he said they sell more bottles of Crown Royal in Texas than all of Canada.
Really?
It's the number one selling state for Crown Royal is Texas.
That's crazy.
But if you think about it, every person, you know, our age and younger, like always, everybody has Crown Royal.
I like the bags. They make Grace Dice bags. I have my dice in a Crown Royal.
I take that back. When I prepare chicken sometimes, I cut the head off the chicken when I make it, and I spit rum on it, and I blow cigar smoke on it.
Because Joe Boo is going to help bless your bats.
It tastes better when you do that. You don't do that when you make chicken?
No. I may have to give it a try.
Rum for the fay. I leave out little samples.
That's a good move. That's a good move.
I started doing it around my deer stand just to help. You should try it.
Hey, it's not going to make me see any less. Would it make me a better shot? Will they help shoot the arrow?
Maybe.
Look, speaking of shooting, I got something here for y'all. It takes place near Sherman, Texas, back in 1960. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
July of 1960. This report actually came, I believe, from the Sherman Democrat back in the day when this was actually published. It says J.O. Conrad, his wife and son, who live 3 miles east of Sherman on Highway 82, say that they saw a 7-foot-tall gorilla or some kind of monster on Monday night near their home. Now, his story came to light only on Friday. The animal's been reported to have been seen near Bell's by one other person. Some people merely shake their heads and smile at the story, while others stand behind Conrad's report. Gorilla or not, the citizens of Blue Creek are keeping their doors locked tight and their firearms handy. Conrad said he had just gone to bed Monday night at about 10:30 or 11. He says, "I was," and get ready, "smoking a cigarette when the dog started barking."
Right.
He said, "I looked out the east window and I saw him. He looked to be 7 foot tall, about 3 foot wide across the back. He stood upright but hunched over. At first glimpse," Conrad said, "he thought it might be a man walking through his yard. Then I saw it was too big to be a man," he explained. "So I jumped out of bed, grabbed my flashlight and gun. Miss Conrad and their son, James, 13 at the time, watched the creature from the bedroom window." Conrad said he stepped off his front porch towards the animal and fired three times. Mm. 1, 2, 3. "I know I hit him at least once, but he didn't even flinch. And that's when I went after my shotgun," Conrad said. Miss Conrad called the sheriff's office in Sherman. Deputies warned against shooting the animal, afraid a stray bullet wound might cause it to attack. "I fired the shotgun over its head, but he didn't run. He just shuffled off to the east down the side of the highway," Conrad continued. "I jumped in my car and followed. I got a really good look at him in my headlights while I was following him. He looked black as coal. He was very hairy except for his face. He said, I was about 20 foot from him when I shot. I didn't try to get any closer. I was too scared." All the way to the Blue Creek bottom, a few hundred yards east of the community, Conrad said the animal swayed and shuffled slowly along on its legs. His front legs, get a load of this, front legs, were just hanging down, swinging around, he said. After the animal went into the underbrush at the creek, Conrad said he gave up the search, afraid to follow the beast into the brush. Now, Miss Curtis Wilson, who lives about 100 yards east of Conrad across the highway, well, she said that she and her husband were awakened shortly before Conrad saw the animal. She says that "we heard something rattling around in the shrubbery beside the house, and our two dogs were going crazy." She said, "then we heard something thump against the house, and the dogs hushed, just like they'd been turned off." Now, when her husband went outside, Miss Wilson said the dogs were cowering in a corner on the porch, shaking like someone had whipped them. Now, at the same time, Miss Wilson said Wilson's cows behind the house had begun an uproar. Wilson's first thought, a wolf. Then when he heard Mr. Conrad shooting and my husband got his deer rifle, but at that time he had gotten out onto the highway, so wherever it was gone into the creek bottom in the brush, is what she said. Now, Miss Wilson said most of the people living near the community had kept their doors locked since. Conrad said his wife was so scared that she didn't go to sleep the rest of the night and had to have medical treatment the next day. W.B. Thompson, there as Sherman, was working the same night in an all-night station in the Star community between Bell's and Denison. He said a man drove into the station for gas and told him that he had just seen a large, strange-looking animal alongside the road near Bell's. Thompson didn't get the man's name. Conrad goes on to say that he started to follow the beast in his car. Another car came down the highway approaching the animal from behind. That fellow must have seen the gorilla because he threw on his brakes and stopped at the side of the animal. Then he stepped on it and got out of there. I thought he would stop to help me, but he must have been too scared. Grayson Sheriff's Deputy James Spaugh answered Miss Conrad's call for help. He said that as far as he's concerned, Conrad definitely saw something and that it wasn't a man. The next morning, Conrad took his wife to the doctor. When he returned around noon, he could find no tracks on the hard, dry ground. Some men who work around here had dragged a wrecked car over the spot where I saw the thing standing, and there weren't any tracks left, he said.
Right.
Conrad goes on to say that he had never seen a gorilla before, but I looked in my dictionary, I'm sure he was talking about an encyclopedia,
yeah, right,
the next morning, and I found one. I know I saw a gorilla. So,
and this was in 1960.
1960, July of 1960 in Sherman, Texas, which was been extremely small at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about nothing up in and around that area in the 60s. But the other kicker is it's a 7-footer.
Yes.
That absorbs gunfire.
Right.
So
I totally could believe that a gorilla could have escaped someone's, you know, private residence that they kept as a pet. Now, the size is where, but see, this is the problem when it comes to a lot of these Bigfoot sightings. I think it's very easy for people to misjudge height.
Oh, especially at night.
At night and like in the woods. That's why, you know, that's why they put the stickers on the door in the convenience store.
And so if you're amped up and you're, you know, you've got a bunch of stuff going on. Yeah. And also,
it happens to me because I see pigs and you think, man, I got a big one. And then you get up there and you're like, man, this thing's only 50 pounds.
You look at the pictures. I love looking at the pictures of where their backs are. And you're like, this thing's huge. And you get there and you're like, yeah, I got a 170-pound pig coming in here. Like, it looked like it weighed 400 pounds on camera. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. And when we're experienced.
But also think of this. Imagine how terrible the lighting was back then. Flashlights, the headlights, none of that is that great in 1960. So I don't know kind of actual, how well you... So again, it goes into and the height.
Very likely he could have missed.
It's shuffling because he wounded it. Yeah, maybe. And it's just stumbling off. But, so I don't know. I have no idea. But the whole thing with the height, but again, could you judge it off the size of a car? Right. If the car stopped beside, you know, I have no idea where he got it from. So either way, 1960, there was something creeping around in the woods of Sherman, Texas.
Well, if it was Bigfoot, that is cool. I've got another type of Bigfoot story.
Oh, sweet.
Check this out. It says, I never have and never will care what people think about me. I try to be a decent person, but sometimes people just will not let me. I'm 46 years old and live in Powell County, Kentucky. I've had some crazy things happen in my life, but this incident happened when I was 17 and still in school. At the time, I had a 440 Kawasaki street bike that I rode in both summer and winter. One night, my buddy Nathan and I were out riding sometime after midnight. It was late November, and it was cold enough that a jacket and gloves really were not enough. But we were young, so we did it. Doesn't matter to us. We rode up Furnace Mountain Road, maybe 4 or 5 miles up. As I said, it was after midnight. We came into the outside lane of an S-curve, and there was something there that was bigger than both of us put together, even with us sitting on the motorcycle. It was bent over something dead. Ooh. We passed it pretty fast. It was simply huge. Nathan leaned up close to my head and said, "What the heck was that?" I could tell he was nervous, and I was too. I told him that I didn't want to know. By that time, we were about half a mile past it. I stopped at a little country church and turned around. I told Nathan it looked like a Bigfoot trying to tear something apart. He said he thought it was the same thing. Being 17 and stupid, I guess, we decided to go back by it. So we went back the way we came. As we entered the curve, sure enough, there it was, still bent over whatever it had on the side of the road. I hit the bright headlights when we were about 75 feet from it. About 2 seconds later, the creature stood up and half turned to face us.
Uh-oh.
Right on by it, we went, on the wrong side of the road, of course. And both of us were looking at it instead of the road. I nearly went off the edge of the pavement. Nathan was pounding my sides with open hands and kept doing it halfway back down the mountain. When it stood up, it was twice as tall as Nathan and me sitting on the motorcycle. I will not tell you that I could see its eyes, but I saw the rest of it really well. It was dark brown or black with light tan hair on its beard, chest, and abdomen. Kind of like gray hair on a real hairy human man. It was completely covered in long hair, except for what I could see of its face. It looked like it had a long head and a long face. Its arms were long and defined, and it had tree trunk thick legs. I'm not going to say that I was scared to death, but I was freaked out big time. We went back up that way the next morning to see what kind of animal had been lying on the side of the road. What we came across was a very pretty horse, lying there with its whole hind end torn off. Its neck was broken. And from the way the other leg bones looked, it seemed like a truck had hit it. Since that experience, I've been a Sasquatch enthusiast. I have always wanted to have another encounter, SB. Just imagine you're just driving around on a motorcycle. Sounds like a truck hit a horse, but then the Sasquatch is a scavenger.
Yeah.
Feasting on it, right?
Feasting upon it.
Got to eat it at night.
And it's so much easier that way. I'm glad you brought up Kentucky.
Yeah.
I've got one from Kentucky.
Let's hear it.
Get a load of this one right here. I think you're going to enjoy the heck out of this. This took place about 20 years ago when the witness was 10. It says, I know nobody's going to believe me when I say this, but when I was young, I had an encounter with what I now believe may have been a juvenile Sasquatch. My mom used to leave my little brothers and me at the Green River in Kentucky on weekends so we could fish and camp. She would drive up north for the weekend, and this was back before cell phones. My mom always warned us never to go past the tree line because there were homeless people back there. We believed her because we had lived in the city before moving to the country. People would talk about homeless men in the trees, in the tree line, yelling and banging on trees. So we were afraid of that area. So
that's
one
an odd
day,
description, don't
right?
you think?
It's kind of strange, right? So one day we're fishing and we run out of bait. I believe it was the last day we were there. Well, because we were leaving later that afternoon, I decided to go into the tree line and flip over some rocks or anything else that I could find and look for worms or grubs. There were carp everywhere, and we wanted a better chance at catching them. So I told my brothers to stay there, and while I would go out and look for the bait. But I had no idea what I was about to experience. I was walking with my head down looking for something to turn over when I suddenly saw feet. They looked like human feet right in front of my own. I saw toenails that looked almost like wood. I looked up and saw hair all over the body, but some parts of it were hairless. This creature was not even 10 foot in front of me. It was like we accidentally ran into each other and startled each other. Then I looked into its eyes. Its eyes looked like galaxies. They were brown, green, reddish, black, and they were huge. When you're looking at something like that, you don't know what you're really seeing. Your mind at the time cannot make sense of it. Then the creature backed up into the sunlight. It took maybe 3 steps backwards. When the sunlight hit its fur, it became almost invisible. I'm serious. The way the sunlight reflected off of its fur made it disappear right in front of my eyes. I had first seen it in the shade. Then I watched it step backwards 3 times into the sun, and it vanished. All of this took place in less than 20 foot from me. Now, I understand why people don't always see these things. Sometimes we don't know what we're looking for. Our eyes are only registering something else. And now I still get chills just writing this. At the time, I was scared to death. I thought, well, it's a homeless man. I did not know what I was seeing. I had never really known about Bigfoot. My mother used to talk about wood boogers because she grew up in the country, but I was confused and terrified, so I couldn't move. I wanted to go back to my brothers, but I was frozen. As soon as I blinked, I lost sight of it, even though I knew exactly where it had been standing.
Right.
20 years later, I became obsessed with Bigfoot. I've never really told my story. I was afraid of what might happen if I went camping again and experienced something worse because I'd spoken about it. I know some people will believe me, and I completely understand why others won't. But if I could give you my eyes from that day, you could see it for yourself. This thing cloaked itself
right,
like the predator in the movie right in front of me, but it was not fully cloaked. If I had not walked right up on it, I probably would have never seen it standing in the sunlight. That is how it seemed to camouflage itself, the sun reflecting off of its fur. Because we bumped into each other, I had already had my eyes locked on it when it backed into the sun, and that's when I saw it become almost invisible. I know it's hard to explain, but I'm tired of feeling like I'm crazy. I don't want the attention. I don't want to go on the podcast, but I want what I experienced affected me deeply as I grew up. And for most of my life, I thought it had been just a homeless person. Then about a year and a half ago, I became interested in Bigfoot, and I started hearing other people describe similar encounters, but I actually saw this creature back into the sunlight and disappear. It did not stink. It had no smell, anything like that. That's another reason I thought it might have been a homeless man at the time. But again, I was 10. I was worried for my little brothers, and I also remember my mother yelling at us not to go to the tree line, and I felt like I had invaded its space. I finally had told my story, and it feels like a huge weight lifted off my chest. I've seen this thing in my sleep ever since I was a little boy. Thanks for your time, J.S.
Wow.
So, experienced the Glimmer Man.
Yeah, right. Well, and it's also...
Walked up on it.
I like how his mother said, don't go in the tree line. There's homeless people in there beating on trees. It reminds me a lot of your friend whose father used to warn them not to go in the woods because he heard mountain lions.
Yep.
It's almost like... It's like the elders know what it is, but they don't tell the children.
Well, because
so
if you tell the children, they're going to be even more interested at this point, right? Then it becomes an adventure. I never thought about the idea of them being, though, like could do that in sunlight.
Yeah.
Like I know we talk, and you don't get a ton of Glimmer Man encounters at night. You don't really see them that often unless they're like in a house or something.
Yeah, because you can't see them.
But in the daylight, boy, what better way to go invisible is if the sunlight hits you, you're invisible.
Yeah.
That's pretty handy.
That maybe explains a lot.
It could, yeah, 100%.
Well, I've got a story from Kentucky that was sent to us by a listener. But before we get to it, let's take a break. We got to pay some bills. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. All right, y'all. So I had a moment the other day that really humbled me. I bent down to tie one of my shoes and I made that noise that, like I'd just been working in my garden all day and I was sore, except all I did was exist. I started thinking, wait a minute, I used to be able to eat gas station burritos at midnight and wake up looking like I could audition for an action movie. Now, I look like a tortilla and my body's like, yeah, we're storing that for winter. Here's the thing, I'm still working out. I'm used to eating mostly the same stuff, but that stubborn weight around the stomach, it's like I signed a lease and it refuses to leave. And it turns out, it's not just getting older, or dad life, or whatever you want to call it. As guys get older, our bodies start changing the rules on us. We naturally start storing more fat, losing muscle faster. And a big part of that comes down to testosterone levels dropping over time. And then it gets worse. The more body fat you gain, the more your body starts converting testosterone into estrogen, which makes it even easier to gain more fat. It's like a betrayal from your own body. So yeah, that's been fun. That's actually why I, and Cam as well, started taking Mars Men. Now I'll be honest, I'm always skeptical of supplements. But Mars Men is designed to support healthy testosterone levels using natural ingredients like Tongarali or Shilajit, zinc, boron, no weird stuff, no synthetic hormones. And I've been using it for a bit now, and I gotta say, I've noticed a difference. My energy feels way more consistent, not that afternoon crash when you feel like you need a nap and a life reset. Workouts feel better, working in the garden feels better, shooting my bow feels better, I'm recovering quicker, and mentally, I just feel more dialed in. I'm not saying I woke up looking like I'm 25 again, but let's just say summer's coming, and I'm feeling a lot better about it than I was a couple of months ago. It's basically helping my body feel like it's working with me again instead of actively sabotaging me. And the quality is legit. It's made in the USA, third-party tested, so you actually know what you're getting. Plus, there's a 90-day money-back guarantee. So in the worst case, you try it, you don't love it, you get your money back. But over 91% of users report higher energy levels, so clearly something is working. For a limited time, our listeners can get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and three free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and three free gifts when you check out. And it's also available on Amazon. After you make your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go tie my shoes again and see if I can do it without sounding like I'm fighting for my life.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Hey-o.
Yeah, I've got a pretty cool story that was sent to us by a listener.
Lay it on me.
From Kentucky. But before we get to that, I've got another story I want to do first.
Uh-oh.
It says, hello, guys. I'm Kev, and I'm a longtime listener of your podcast.
Hey, Kev.
I really enjoy listening to you guys.
Thanks.
I was going to tell you about a strange experience I had around 2005, 2006-ish in the German hinterlands. Mm. To shorten it, me and my ex-girlfriend saw a person, in quotations,
hold up,
on the side of the road that disappeared seemingly into nothing. Now, I've told this anecdote now and again to people I get to know because they think it's quite funny. My girlfriend at the time lived in an area that can truly be described as rural, with a bunch of small villages following this river, the Moselle, and hills around it. Or the Mosel? I don't know how you say that. It's a wine gardening area with some forests, too, and it's less touched by urbanization or settlements than any other place in Germany that I've ever visited. But once you leave the immediate area of the river, the roads and occasional villages along its side of it, there is nothing much going on for kilometers, just maybe the odd gas station or something. One night, we came home from a visit of one of her friends, with her driving us back to her place. She only had a glass of wine, and I don't drink alcohol. I just preface everything that follows. I don't quite remember how late it was, after midnight, I'm sure, but the details escape me. That area of those light forests we came from was fairly dark, but we could see the shine of streetlights from the village she lived in. On the side of the road with us was this silhouette of a guy seemingly walking towards said village. That was strange because it was incredibly late at night, and the guy was coming from a direction where there was absolutely nothing. If you follow the road he was moving on in a straight direction, I think there was a gas station, but about 30 kilometers out. The guy was wearing his flannel jacket and pants, like an overall sticking out from under it, which I still remember. The second strange aspect was that I could not make out any of the details about him. As we passed him, I was on the shotgun side maybe 3 feet or a meter away from him. Maybe it was the lighting coming from the village, but I remember that I couldn't make out his face in the side profile. Like there was too little detail or anything. But between my girlfriend's car lights and the lights from the village, that seemed odd to me. Anyways, we passed him as my girlfriend is driving us slowly, and we come up to this crossing street, maybe 20 meters away from where we saw him, straight behind us. She came to a stop to turn the car into the right, to the right street, but stopped fully. As she did this, I thought, I'm going to take another look at that guy. I turned to look over my shoulder, and he was gone, like the road was completely empty. I was not so much spooked as really confused, because not only was he suddenly not visible anymore, together with seeing someone so late in an unexpected place and not being able to see anything about him, just confused me utterly. I did not feel threatened or creeped out, just confused. Not so much my girlfriend, though. I turned to her, I think fairly casually, and asked her, hey, wasn't there a guy just there behind us? And I noticed she was already staring down the road behind us. She immediately responded, yes, with that kind of red flannel jacket and blue jeans, right? Basically describing the same guy I saw. We stared for a moment longer, but then she drove us back. She was clearly really creeped out and pale from the experience. Now, she has not the best recollection when it comes to events. A few years back, we reconnected on Facebook, and I suddenly thought of this weird moment. So I wrote to her to say, hey, do you remember the weird guy on the road? I didn't even get to write any extra detail. She just went, don't remind me, in all caps, immediately remembering. Overall, to me, it's not impossible. It was just a mundane sighting of a person. People in such moments often ask, why would a person do that? But who knows? Maybe he was driven home by a coworker, but let out before the village, coming home from a late shift. I don't know. Maybe he had a crappy day and disappeared off the side of the road once we passed him, to not deal with people at night. But honestly, it brings up more questions. Why did my girlfriend recognize him in the village of 500 people? If he was in work clothing, he probably wore heavy work boots. But he just chose to step into the vegetation to get out of our view? That doesn't make any sense. I honestly don't fully believe in the supernatural, but I do occasionally think back to this moment, and I'm still puzzled at what exactly I saw on that road. I'm just happy that my girlfriend was with me, so my memory did not dismiss it fully as something not worth remembering. Anyway, maybe that's the story, or maybe this story is interesting to you guys, as you've heard so many similar stories in your show. I want to know what you guys think, and I want to know what you think I might have seen. I really enjoy your show. With kind regards from Kevin of Hamburg, Germany.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and thank you for the strange story. I agree with you. It could have been something totally mundane, totally normal, or it could be something supernatural. We don't really know. But the fact that you and your girlfriend saw it and both thought it was weird, she lived in a tiny village of only 500 people, you would know the residents and people there.
You would think you would be pretty, at least, well, I know who that is. Like, I may not remember their name, but.
Yeah, but you've seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, you got to think about like going to school with 500 kids. Like, you would recognize faces.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you may not know them all, but yeah, you would think she would know who it was.
And thanks for writing this, Kevin. And it's funny because I just was in contact with a person on Patreon that's from another country as well, and they wanted us to give a shout out to our international listeners.
Heck, so, yeah.
Believe it or not, we have a lot of international listeners, especially in countries like Australia. We have a lot of Australian fans.
Dude, I want to go there so bad.
I don't now.
I want to go
there. The place looks like it's in chaos now. They're running out of fuel and food, man.
But it's still a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, except for the spiders and the inland taipans and the great white sharks.
Something's got to kill you. The sharks only get you if you go in the water. I'm not going in the water.
Saltwater crocs.
I'm not going in the water.
Yowies.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, before we took the break and then we came back from the break, I mentioned I got a pretty cool listener story from Kentucky. Now, this was a caller that called into the show.
Nice.
Very interesting. I think you're going to like it. Check it out.
Hey, guys. I have been hemming and hawing whether to tell this story or not because it kind of felt malevolent. My name is I do not want it mentioned on the show. I'll tell you where this happened. It was on a small lake in Kentucky called Lake Harrington, the deepest lake in Kentucky. I live on it. So one night, my boyfriend and I were sitting on my screened-in back porch, and I was smoking a cigarette. We were chilling out, watching, the night and stuff. It was, dark. It was... new moon. It was in October, and this was in about 2020. And I believe we've tried to, because we didn't like write down what day it happened, but we know that it was close to the new moon, and it was very dark. So we're looking out on the lake because I live on the water, and we see. Across the water from us is a bunch of houses, and none of these houses are occupied throughout the year. There's one out of like 10 houses that somebody actually lives in through the year. I'm pulling over here so I can tell the story. Okay, so we're looking out there, just, at the water, yada, yada, and we see people... what we think are people, multiples walking down like the path that, like a lake house has, like where it's, it's on an incline, the houses are up on a hill, and it's more than one house, and it's not the house that has people in it, and there's no lights on in the houses that are vacant, but there are human forms that look, at first I was like, are they wrapped in Christmas lights? What is that? They were devoid of, I don't even know how to explain it. The way that I've explained it to the people that I've told is like when you're driving through a snowstorm and it looks, like Star Wars or something, like the stars are coming at you. So not quite blinking in and out or anything, but like it was human forms that had fading and blinking lights. And at some point, they changed colors. Some of them were green. I don't know if it's Glimmer Men or what these things were, but it was definitely human forms that were all like moving speckles of light. And there's more, like there's like three or four people coming from one house coming down a hill. And then we get to looking, and the other houses that are vacant had other forms of these coming down. Now, we were sober. We had not been drinking or anything. And we keep looking and looking. We get the binoculars out, and sure enough, it's every house that doesn't have people living in it have people like these things with different colors of like flying light or whatever, walking down, and there's multiples of them. And some of them like looked like they were shorter, some of them looked like they were taller, but like I said, it was devoid of, you couldn't tell that it was a human other than like the light forms had, you know, the human form. You know what I'm saying? Okay, and sorry, I'm sick, so I sound awful. Anywho, they're coming down to the water. And it's only on that side. It's not on my side of the lake. It's on what we call the rich side of the lake. And it's a golf course that's over there. And we're like, what the hell is this? And they're all coming down at the same time. And they're all on like at the shoreline now, after a few minutes. And we're like, oh my Lord. And then the colors start changing. So like one green entity was like kind of starting to be red, and then it would go to orange, but other ones were like just white light. And so we're just like in shock, and we're looking at each other, and we're trying to be quiet because, you know, what is this? And it was, you know, kind of scary. And then we like look down to the end of, I'm on a lake, but like I'm on a little creek, right? And at the very end of mine, you can't see it, but the water ends. You know, it's a creek, so there's a little waterfall, like, way down. Anywho, these things are all, like, waiting for something that's coming from that way. And then we see it. And it's three things in the water that are coming. One is in front, one is slightly to the right, and the other one is like further back, so they're, you know, like not quite a V formation because it's not perfect, but that's, you know, how they were coming. And I don't even know how to explain it. They were large and luminescent. They had three glowing dots in the middle of like what I would consider their body, and it was like blue lights, and you could see that they were underwater and coming my way, coming our way. So they're leading from that creek into the larger part of the lake, which is the other side of me. So they're coming from our left and going to the larger opening of the lake on the right, down that way. And it's like those blinky light people things were greeting them. I don't know. I have no idea what we're seeing. But we're seeing it, we're shaking our heads to each other, trying to be quiet. And we're really excited, but we're really scared. I don't know why it instilled fear in us, but it did. We shouldn't have been seeing it. We know we shouldn't have been seeing it. They didn't see us. So like, we're just sitting there in the dark watching all of this. And the biggest one was the one in the front. Second to biggest was the one on the right, so furthest from us. And then the one closest to us, and it was the further back, was the smallest. So, you know, it was almost like mama, a teenager, and a baby, so to speak, of these, like, round things that were, like, bioluminescent. They were glowing blue and had, like, three dots on the inside of them and a little bit of blue around their edges. And they're coming very slow. They go in front of us. And the entities that are watching them or greeting them, like, all kind of turn. And then all of their lights that they have, you know, like, coming from their human form light things, turn blue. And as the things pass us and keep going, all of those human forms on shore turn around and go back up the hill and slowly just dissipate, like you can't see them anymore. They quit glowing and, like, as far as I know, disappear. And but the bioluminescent beings in the water just kept going. And I ended up having him draw what he saw. I drew what I saw. It's the same thing. They were like the size of Volkswagen Beetles. That's, you know, like the mom or whatever the biggest one was. And I drew that, and I was telling my sister this. I finally got up the courage to tell her, and she just Google imaged the post-it that I drew it on, and the only thing that came up was spider eggs, which is terrifying in itself. I don't know what the hell we saw, guys. I've seen other stuff on this lake. There's an actual lake, something called the Harrington Lake Monster, which is like a huge eel-shaped, you know, like serpent water creature with a pig's head. I haven't seen that, but I have seen something that was like 25 foot long and very wide that came through the water one night as well, and we don't know what that was. It could have been a giant sturgeon. We have looked up, you know, like what it could be. It could have been a sturgeon. They do have those, but 25 foot across, that's something I've never heard of. But this keeps bugging me. This happened years ago, and I feel like I gotta tell somebody, and you guys are the ones that I think like won't completely think I'm crazy.
And we're back. Yeah, man, it sounds like it could be Glimmer Man. It could be some strange entities, some strange USOs coming out of the lake, glowing things. With all this UFO disclosure, man, I am freaking out when I'm sitting there scrolling and I'm watching these videos. But with all the AI, I'm like, dude, I do not know what I'm looking at.
And I will tell you this, the more ridiculous where I can tell it's like somebody spotted this and it looks something ridiculous, I'm all for it. But when we start talking about like USOs and the water and all this stuff, I know it's ridiculous. I know how dumb this sounds, but I'm like, what if you could travel just in the water? You go in the water, then whatever happens to your ship, you can go whoop to another body of water and then emerge from it, where you can use lakes like a portal.
Yeah.
If you could do that, could you imagine how easy it would be to travel? Just hop in the lake and boom, now you're up in Canada. Boom, now you're in Australia. You just pop out of the water somewhere.
Well, the thing is there's so many of these people that are talking about that they've been here a very long time.
Yeah.
And they've been under the water.
Yeah.
And what about these rear admirals talking about things the size of a football field moving under the water at a couple hundred miles an hour?
Yeah, like,
is any of that real?
Or, I don't know.
Maybe we're not the ones that are over whaling. It's these ships bouncing into whales under the water, right?
Running
maybe
them
they're
down.
Killing them, right?
Well, don't forget, we had at our lake here in town, they had orb sightings out around there for about a week. People were seeing orbs about the size of like a volleyball or a basketball moving around over the tops of the water, like see them up above the tree line. Then people would report them going down by the water. Come, and then that was it. It was like that little few days and then they're gone.
Well, like the ones off the coast of New Jersey. My cousins up there were sending me videos from their Seaside Heights and all that. Lavalette.
And I always think about this. If you were a kid doing it and you were messing around and had a drone that could do like that, you would probably do it more than 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, why was there just a flap of like 2 weeks?
And then that's, you would probably put more to it, right, of messing around with it. So
something,
I don't know.
Something, man, something, the world, we're in an alternate reality.
Like, yeah,
something
dude,
is going
crazy.
On, right?
Yeah, we're in an alternate timeline of madness.
I've got another caller that sent in a story, a guy named Waldo, and he has two different encounters that are kind of bizarre. One is a possibly phantom bus. Another one is a haunted house. So let's give that a listen.
So my name's Christian Waldo. I go by Waldo. You can use my name on the story. So I live in St. Charles, Missouri, and we are huge hunters, fishers, me and all my buddies. We duck hunt, we deer hunt, we turkey hunt, we rabbit hunt. I mean, if you can shoot in Missouri, we're there. But we also love to fish too. We tournament bass fish, we tournament puppy fish, and we also do a lot of trout fishing too. Well, me and three other buddies decided let's go to opening day of trout season. Starts March 1st. So, like every opening day, we're all super excited. It's midnight. Like, I always drive down there tonight. We'll hang out, throw back some cold ones when we get there, and just chill while everything's going good. We're driving down these windy back roads in central Missouri on our way to a place called Montauk State Park, one of the best trout fisheries in Missouri. And I mean, these roads are super duper hilly, just up and down, up and down, up and down, twists, turns, up and down. Well, we can see headlights behind us in my rearview mirror, and they're catching us up to us pretty quick, and I'm not a very slow driver, especially when I got buddies in the car, because, I mean, we got places to be, we got cold ones to throw back. So we're just chilling, and next thing I know, I come down this hill and I see headlights crest the top of the hill behind me. Well, by the time I look down and back up, there's this old crappy white van that flies by me like I'm standing still. Like just standing still, and I'm probably doing 70 or 80 miles an hour. And we're like, holy shit, this van's gotta go. Like, there must be something wrong how fast he's driving. Well, he gets out in front of us, and there is one turn, or there's a turn coming up. Well, that van goes around the turn, and it's like, after this turn, it is miles straight away. This van makes this turn, he disappears around the turn, and probably 4 or 5 seconds later, we come around the turn, and this van is gone. There's no turnoff, there's no smoke from like it rolling or like debris from it rolling. I mean, this van just disappeared. Never seen what was going on. I mean, I and everyone else in the vehicle thinks it was a ghost van, because this van was so raggedy and so, it just looked like a ghost van. And for something to disappear like that with no trace is wild. But that's the end of that story. I have another one too. At my best friend's house, in St. Charles, Missouri, a place called Cox Hill Road. My buddy just so happens to live on the very highest peak of this in St. Charles County. I mean, it's the highest hill. His house is on the highest point. Well, you've always heard that it was like maybe Indian burial ground, maybe something along the lines of that. But his dad has always said, like, this place just, it's spooky, even though they had the house custom built. I mean, dad's like, it's just spooky. Well, one night it was me and my buddy sitting in his room in the basement. His parents were out of town. His brother and sister were out of town. It was just me and him in the basement. We're sitting in his room, and we're playing video games, so we have all the lights off, but we have the basement lights on. Well, we heard this thud, and we're like, huh, wonder what that was. Well, we go, like, we're going to go open the door, and we see from underneath the door, the beam of light that shines through underneath the door, we see a shadow and another shadow, like two legs crossing in front of the door in the light. So we immediately both grab guns out of his safe, and we start clearing the house. And he's like, did you find anything? I'm like, no. And he's like, back door's locked. I'm like, front door's locked. Garage door's shut. And he's like, what the hell? Like, what's going on? Well, about a week and a half later, I'm sitting in the living room upstairs. He's in the bathroom, going to the bathroom, and we just hear a knock. A knock. A knock. A knock. And he yells out of the bathroom, "Hey, Waldo, quit. What are you knocking on? Quit knocking on." I'm like, "It's not me. What is you quit knocking?" So he comes out of the bathroom, and I look down the hallway, and he looks down the hallway. And it sounds like someone's just dropping a baseball. Well, we both look, and his mom and dad's bedroom door is opening and closing, and like closing itself, and then opening itself, closing itself, multiple times. And then as we go up to the door, it swings open and slams shut, but this time it's slammed shut and stays shut. I mean, a loud boom, like someone was pissed off and slammed the door. That's how violent this was. And me and him both run out of the house as fast as we can and call his dad. And we're like, this place is haunted. I mean, his dad went in there later because we went off to go do something else. So his dad got home. Well, his dad got home, and he's like, none of the windows were open. The door latch works. He goes, I think you guys are just seeing things. And we're like, no, we know what we've seen. Your bedroom door was opening and closing. There's no way that it was not closing and not latching without someone turning the handle and twisting it open. But since then, there has been some other stuff that my buddy said, but I can't remember what he said about his house so far. But those are a couple of the paranormal / ghost vehicle stuff. But yeah, I mean, I love listening to the podcast. You guys are great. I look forward to it every week. I drive quite a bit for my job and always look forward to when your podcast come out. So thank you guys. Appreciate it.
And we're back. Yep.
First of all, I'm out on any haunted houses.
Yeah, me too.
If you got one, don't invite me.
We've been in one before together when we were younger. Remember the one on, was it Lamar? Where the squirrel came down the chimney and all that. But that house was haunted. Remember, you could hear like doors and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy being like, "You want to stay the night?" I'm like, "Absolutely not.
Like, I'm good. I'm good." Yeah. That was and that's one of the houses that's been here for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
A very long time in Weatherford.
You remember that? So you kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that place. It's for good reason.
Yeah.
For good reason. Yeah, my wife was pregnant when that squirrel jumped out and was going crazy. And yeah, that was a heck of a time. Well, and what about the haunted house in Mineral Wells?
Yeah, you can can spend money to go stay there.
You can.
No, I'm not doing that.
I'm not going there.
No. My wife said she would love to. She likes that stuff.
Her and Luke, you got to send them over there and let them go stay in it. They'd love that. So be like, "I'll come back and get you tomorrow. Don't involve me in your nonsense when you mess around with the other side."
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of spirits or any of that stuff possibly being able to latch on. I don't want to bring it somewhere.
No, I don't either.
It's the last thing I want.
Don't tease them.
No, leave them alone.
Yeah, just leave them alone. Yeah. Let's take a break, folks. When we get back from the break, I think Cam had one more story.
I got a good one.
All right, stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Right, we are back, yes. And I've got a good one for you. And here's the reason I did it. So my wife, for Mother's Day, my daughter was working up in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. So she brought my wife up for Mother's Day because my wife had wanted to go to Maine and see. So they went to Maine, saw lighthouses, and went and did, like, saw puffins and seals and all this other stuff on this boat tour. It was eating, I forgot what they called it. I think they called it the Fluffy, which is like clam chowder, but it's made with, like, big chunks of lobster.
Oh, man, that sounds
good. Something like that, yeah. So they were enjoying all this. But they were in a place in Maine called Bar Harbor. That's where they stayed.
Okay.
I thought I would do this because I haven't told her this yet. But let me drop this on you. So Lon posted this up. A pale crab-walking humanoid reported on a moonlit road near Bar Harbor, Maine. They're following them. That's what I'm going to have to tell them. They followed them up there. This is what goes down. This is what's written. Jay sends this. It says, this is not my personal encounter, but a story that was told to me by someone who I'm close to that experienced it firsthand.
Okay.
He's got name or letters for their names here of K and S. K and S were a couple in college at the time. They attended the College of the Atlantic in Bar Harbor, Maine, on Mount Desert Island. This was before cell phones were ordinary, so they relied on directions and memory as they drove around, looking for a turnoff that would lead them to a party in the woods.
Nice.
Well, around here, that kind of gathering is not unusual. Someone picks out a place in the middle of nowhere, builds a bonfire, and people drink, smoke, and party late into the night. This happened during the summer. This is the way. It sounds like how we grew up. K&S had been driving up and down the same rural road trying to find the correct turnoff. They couldn't locate it. After several passes, they crested the top of a hill. At that moment, the full moon broke above the tree line and lit up the road in front of them. So they decided to make one final pass along the stretch of road. And that was when they saw something emerge from the trees ahead of them. It had a human shape, but it was moving upside down, crab walking across the road. Kay said it darted like an actual crab. It was pale, and its movement was quick and unnatural. And when the thing reached the middle of the road, it dropped lower, closer to the pavement. Then it stretched out and rose upward, then stood upright in front of them for a moment. Now, all this sounds like it's trying to terrify them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to get a reaction. Kay said it had yellow eyes and a body that was essentially human-shaped, but it had no visible genitalia or distinct features. It was just a pale, human-like body, much like Kyle Filson. After standing there briefly, it ran the rest of the way across the road and disappeared. K&S immediately turned around and drove home. When Kay told me this story, I got chills. It disturbed me so badly that I had to drive home from work later that night on a rural road, and the whole thing haunted my thoughts the way in. Jay.
Man.
So, a pale crawler crab walking upside down across the road. First thing I was thinking, you've driven up and down this road several times. It's just like you're throwing a buzzbait out across the top of the water, right? The bass ain't biting. Until about the fourth or fifth time, it attacks because it's mad. It got tired of y'all just driving. And then I'm trying to get some sleep over here. As you can see, my back's out. I'm crab walking. And now y'all just keep driving and turn around, driving and turn. Now I got to come scare you off.
Yeah.
But what? Look, there's nothing it could be but that. You don't misidentify.
Yeah, I have no explanation.
A deer, somebody's llama got out. You don't misidentify this as things when this comes walking out on you.
I agree. Now, I have no idea what you're saying.
Now you would want to have gunfire involved is kind of what you would want to have. So, yeah, there's that. Some creepy Bar Harbor, Maine. Folks, if y'all are in Maine, been around Bar Harbor or the Atlantic University and had something creepy happen, make sure you let us know about it.
That's right. Email us at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline like our listeners that you heard today did. That's 888-393-2783. And don't forget, if you want more Expanded Perspectives, you can follow us on Expanded Perspectives Elite. Just go over to Patreon, search up Expanded Perspectives Elite. And about the books, folks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, listen, this is 100% my fault. I take full accountability. I've already sent out a few, and I've messaged a few people. So if you're on Patreon, check your messages. But for everybody else that's sent that they want a book, what happened was, this is what actually happened. We mentioned that we would be shipping books that were autographed out. And this was like 2.5 months ago. So a bunch of people emailed us and stuff. But between then and now, we've received hundreds of other emails.
Oh, Lord.
And I can't find them all. So I don't want to leave anybody out because we get crazy stories sent to us. We get people
pitching
guests to come on. You wouldn't imagine the amount of shows that try to pitch their people to come on here. And I'm like, did they just look at iTunes and see that we were ranked in the top 100? So they send them out there not knowing what we're talking about, because you'll get, hey, would you like to interview my client? They talk about how to master your life in tantric dance.
I'm like, and make motor oil. You're like, no, I'm not interested. No,
dude, that's not our show. Anyways. So if you wanted one, you got to resend it to me. I apologize, folks. And also, another group of you sent them messages on social media, Instagram and stuff. Listen, if you're trying to get in touch with me, social media is about the worst place you can send it.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever check it. I just don't. So if you want a signed book, email the show.
Subject matter, signed book. Attention. Right. Philly.
Yeah, you can attention big fizzy. Yes, I take full accountability for it. Yes,
email
us again and say, yes, I want a signed copy of the book. What you will need from, all we need from you is an address to ship the book to.
Blood, breath, and urine.
And you can pay us. We accept PayPal, Venmo, or Cash App. And
baked goods. Guns, yeah. Ammo.
So if you want to sign a copy, re-email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. If you're a Patreon member, just direct message me through Patreon. If you're a Patreon member, the books are $20. If you're not a Patreon member, the books are $25. So maybe save some money, become a Patreon member.
It'll go ahead and spend that $5 and become a Patreon member.
Yeah, to help us out.
That's right.
Let's not forget about our wonderful sponsor, Mars Men. For a limited time, our listeners can get 50% off life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. And it's also available on Amazon. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that Expanded Perspective sent you.
That's right.
Cam, I know you had a graduation party. I've got a Texas Fright Fair Fest I'm going to this next week with Luke.
I cannot wait to hear how this goes out.
Luke is going to meet Matthew Lillard.
Yeah.
You know, like what we do the last time. Howard Thornton. I don't know the guy's name. The guy that plays Art the Clown.
Terrifier. Yeah.
David Howard Thornton, I think is his name. Luke got to meet him.
You could tell me any name and I wouldn't know.
Yeah. But Luke is going to meet Matthew Lillard this time. So I'm going to ask Matthew about D&D stuff.
That's the only thing. Yeah, 100%. Right?
That'd be cool. I remember the first, I was thinking back to movies that I first remember him in was, remember the old movie Hackers?
Yes, 100%.
He was like a serial.
Him and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, back in the day.
And there were two others, and I don't remember. Dude, what was the black guy's name?
It's a corny movie.
Black dude's name, I just went blank. He's the guy from Crow. From The Crow. He played in Hackers, too. He's the guy with all the knives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, that guy's awesome, too.
I was thinking of crazy movies. I was doing some work in the kitchen the other day, and I had Tubi TV on in the background. You know, I just put on the action, kind of leave it on, kind of like playing. We do in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, lots of time, folks, when we're doing a podcast in the background, there's TIE Fights on.
Yeah, there's TIE Fights going on right now that just dropped. On. So, yeah, there's dudes just elbowing the heck out of each other.
While I was working, I saw this, I never heard of this movie. It's called Vampires by John Carpenter.
Oh, I've seen that. It's got James Woods.
It's got John Bon Jovi in it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is... I go, is that Bon Jovi? And sure enough, it is.
Yeah.
Never heard of that movie.
Yeah, I've watched it several times. Dude, it's corny, too. But it's great. Corny. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's but that you kind of know going in, right? You know going into it. You're like, yeah, I've seen that one. Heck yeah.
You know they're making a new Gremlins.
No.
They are. It's in production right now, I think.
Is it a remake or is it like like another one? Maybe it's picking up at this point in time?
I don't know. That's a good question. See, I loved Gremlins 1, especially as a kid. The second one's kind of goofy, though.
Yeah, but the first one was amazing.
And the fact that movie's based on real stories. If you look into it, there are cases of Gremlins in World War II, especially.
Yep.
Monkeying with the
not
planes.
The cute looking ones. It's like the
not
ones
the Mogwai.
Yeah, it's like the bad ones.
Yeah, the tricksters.
Spike. One with the mohawk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's things when you're a kid, you wish you could keep the toys. You wish you had your toys back from then. I had one of those plastic spikes.
Did you really?
Yeah, that was like, because I was thinking about all the G.I. Joe stuff we had as kids. Kyle and I used to play G.I. Joe together like crazy as kids. And we had all kinds. And, of course, as you grow up, you throw it out or it breaks. I wish I could find a box of all the G.I. Joe
My cousin
Joe's
Guy in New Jersey had the darn aircraft carrier. I was so jealous.
Yes.
Fly up there in the summer for like 6 weeks. I get to play with it.
Always wanted that thing, man.
Yeah.
Always wanted that thing.
I guess I was a bad kid because I never got it.
What do you mean you guess? Dude, you're still a bad kid. I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's true.
I guess.
All right, folks. That's about all the time we have for this episode. I hope everybody has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.